We're up to Yeshaya Perek Lamed Gimel, and we'll resume with Pasuk Tesvav. There are basically two approaches to this subject, what we're learning right now. The Pasuk said previously, Pochadu b'tzion chatoim, in Pasuk Yudalid, the sinners were afraid in Tzion, the hypocrites were seized with trembling. Some Mefarshim learn that this is referring to the times of Chizkiyahu, where Sanherib's army, the king of Ashur, had conquered and exiled the 10 tribes in Yehuda, and now he was outside Yerushalayim. And when we talk about the righteous, we're talking about Chizkiyahu, and this is the event that happened in Yeshaya's lifetime, and he was guiding the people and telling them how they should live and what Hashem wants from them. The other explanation is, the Targum brings down, that this is referring to, in the future, La'asi Lavo, the times of Mashiach, and the king, which we'll see, and the king we're talking about is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Pasuk Yudalid, Pochadu v'tzion chatoim, the sinners were afraid in Tzion, Ochazor Odech Hanefim, and the hypocrites were seized with trembling, Mi Yogur Lanu. There's a fear, Mi Yogur Lanu, how would we be able to live, Eish Ochela, with a consuming fire, either referring to the fire of Sancheiriv's army that destroyed the land, or referring to the awareness of Hashem's greatness, La'avdil, but the awareness of Hashem's greatness, not to compare it with Sancheiriv's, but, and how could we be able to manage being aware of Hashem's awesome power and the Midas Hadin, and how the nations that deserve their punishments are meted their retribution. The Eish Ochel, the consuming fire, Mi Yogur Lanu Mokdei Olam, and that eternal conflagration, how can we survive and live with such proximity and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Targum says, the fire, how can we live in Tzion, where there'll be the shining, the illumination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's as bright as a great fire. And who could have us living in Yerushalayim, where the Rishoyim will see the Rishoyim being judged and given over to Gehenim, where there's the other type of fire, the fires of Gehenim. But it's referring to how can we survive with the Midas Hadin. The answer is, whether the question is how to survive through the times of Sancheiriv, or how to survive in the future, the answer is Yeshaya gives us six ways, six principles to live by, and that will be the way that we can fulfill the Torah and we'll be able to survive. Holech tzedakos, in Pasuk Tesvav, the one who walks with righteousness, and we discussed this in the previous year, but it seems to me that what Yeshaya is mentioning now is how every limb of the body, the six main limbs, are used for serving Hashem. Holech tzedakos, if you walk with righteousness, v'dover meisharim, and you speak with truthfulness. Moes bevetza ma'ashakos. And perhaps I would think that that's the heart, the person's feelings, that he despises, he spurns any profit, ma'ashakos. That's from extortion, from ill-gotten gains. He despises any betza, any profit, ma'ashakos, that's wrongful. Nowhere kapov mitmoch, b'shochad. He shakes his hands off that no shochad, no bribes should cling to him. And he shakes it off from his hands. So we've mentioned the feet. He goes with righteousness. His mouth, he speaks. His heart, he despises Betzem HaShakos, and his hands. Otem ozno mishmo adomim, and he's careful what he listens to. He doesn't hear, he blocks, he seals his ear, mishmo adomim, that he should hear anything, any hearing of bloodshed. Va'otzem einov meira osparo, and he shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He's careful with his ears and with his eyes. I haven't seen this mentioned, but it seems to me that the six principles of Yeshaya refer to the six limbs, that if somebody's able to attune his body, if his feet go to the right places, his hands do the right thing, his eyes, if he uses his body and he trains himself to serve Hashem, that will be the way that he should focus on the limbs. One of the great Bali Musar in Sfas in the 16th century compiled the Sefer Charedim. I believe the Sefer was compiled all the Taryag mitzvahs lined up with the different limbs. What mitzvahs do you do with your eyes? What mitzvahs do you do with your ears? And by being aware of focusing on the Torah with that, from that angle, think to yourself, when I step out, what mitzvahs, how many mitzvahs could I do with my heart? Which mitzvahs are the heart? And by focusing in that manner, Yeshaya is teaching us this rule. The one who gains, who takes these six principles, will be able to dwell with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll be able to persevere. Humeromim Yishkon. He will dwell, Meromim Yishkon, he'll dwell in heights. Mitzoto Siloim Miskabo. And he'll have a rocky fortress as his stronghold. Lachmo Niton, his bread will be granted. Meimov Nemonim, his water is assured. He can rely on a steady water supply. The truth is, we mentioned David HaMelech last week. The Gemara in Makos explains these psukim. The Torah has Taryag mitzvahs. And as the time went on, it was difficult for people to focus on all 613. They needed an easy way of grasping onto these to keep the Torah. And David HaMelech limited it, cut down the number to 11. Focus on 11 things. Yeshaya mentioned 6. And we mentioned the final was Vitzadik Bemunoso Yichya, to work on Emuna. That was the final way to make it an easier path for us to grasp the Torah. But what's interesting is David HaMelech, when he mentions the 11 things, it's in Tehillim Perek Tezvov. And besides the fact that David mentioned 11 things, and Yeshaya mentioned 6, a number of them are similar, but we can see that Yeshaya made it easier. In Tehillim Tesvav, it's the Mizmor in Tehillim begins, Hashem Yogur Bo'alecha, who may sojourn in your tent? Miyishkon Bahar Kodshecha, who can dwell on your holy mountain? Holech Tamim, one who walks in perfect innocence. Upoel Tzedek, and he does what's right. Vidover Emes Bilvovo, he speaks the truth from his heart. Perhaps besides the fact that Yeshaya made it a smaller number of concepts to focus on, it also, with the Divrei Sofrim points out, it seems that he also made it a little easier than what David HaMelech said. Holech Tamim, David said. Somebody walks in perfect innocence. He's complete in his service of Hashem. Yeshaya mentioned Holech Tzedakos, he walks with righteousness. And Holech Tzedakos was a tremendous level, we discussed like Avram Avinu, but it still doesn't seem to be the Holech Tamim. Avram Avinu had the Yisalech Lefonai Veheyeh Samim also. Avram Avinu himself was Tamim, but we take here Holech Tzedakos to go on that path of righteousness like Avram Avinu. There it mentioned Dover Emes Bilvavu that his heart is totally, whatever he says is what he totally believes, and he speaks the truth in his heart. Here it just is Dover Meisharim. He speaks what's straight, what's correct. But as one of the Mefarshim point out, the truth is, it was made easier because it's hard for us to reach the levels of the earlier generations. But in the end, the greater a person is, the greater the reward is. David HaMelech concluded after his list of 11 items, Ose Eile Lo Yimod La'olam, the one who does these will not falter forever. Yeshaya mentions that if we follow his six concepts, you'll be safe, you'll be secure. But it doesn't seem to be as great of a blessing, as great of a promise as David promises. But with these six concepts, humeromim yishkon, the person he'll dwell in heights. Mitzoto sloim iskabo, and he'll have a fortress, a rocky fortress will be his stronghold. If he's high up, the enemy will not be able to approach him. He's like on a cliff, and the enemy, how's he going to come close? And he certainly won't be able to conquer him. But sometimes a person who's secluded on a rocky fortress, but he doesn't have the food and the water, he's just away from everything. He's high up there and you can't reach him and he's safe. But here, lachmo niton, his bread is granted, meim of nemonim, and his water is assured. He'll have what to eat, he'll have what to drink, he'll have his needs, he'll be safe. That's in Gashmius. In the physical realm, the difficulty of dwelling with this consuming fire, but he'll be safe and he'll be secure. Melech biyofyo techezena inecha. The king in his beauty, your eyes will see. And we'll discuss this. There are different ways to understand this, but perhaps this is in the ruchnius sense, that you'll be able to see kaviyochol, you'll be able to experience a nevuah, a vision, as if you'd be seeing Hashem, melech biyofyo techezeno einecho. The Targum says, yos yikar shchinas melech olmaya, the glory of the king, the king of the world. Betushbachte, in his glory, yechzion einoch, your eyes will see. Melech biyofyo techezeno einecho. But first, we'll take the explanation of the other Mephorshim. If we're talking about Sancheirav being the enemy, the king we're talking here is about Chizkiyo. Melech biyofyo techezeno einecho. You'll be able to see Chizkiyo not as a king under siege, a king suffering in desperation, but you'll see Chizkiyo in all of his glory. The king in his beauty, techezeno einecho, your eyes will see. Tireno eretz marchakim, your eyes that used to see the king from far away, the king of Ashur. It's almost as if it would say, tireno melech from eretz marchakim. You're used to seeing the king, the foreigner, the king of Ashur, but now you'll be zochet to see Chizkiyo. The Gemara, by the way, learns out a halacha from here. The Gemara has a discussion in Tainus on Daf Yud Zayin how often certain people would take a haircut. A Kohen serving in the Beis HaMikdash would have to take a haircut within 30 days. He can't grow his hair long. The Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says, would be once a week, because every week a new group of Kohanim came. There were 24 Mishmaros, 24 groups. Every week a new group came, and when the new group came, they should come When they come on Shabbos, they see the king who just had his haircut before Shabbos. The king should, the Kohen Gadol. They should see the Kohen Gadol in his beauty with a once a week haircut. That was the Kohen Gadol. And the king had a haircut every day because the king had to look his best. Melech biyofyo techazeno einecha. The king in his glory, in his splendor, your eyes will see. But it means you'll see the king Chizkiyahu, tirenum eretz marchakim. You're used to seeing the king from the other country, from Ashur, from far away. But now you'll see the king Chizkiyahu. The Rashi brings down, as the Targum learns, Melech biyofyo techazeno einecha means you'll be able, if you keep these six things that we talked about, and that's the springboard for the Torah, you'll be secure physically, and in Ruchnius Melech biyofyo techazeno einecha, you'll be zochet to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tirena Eretz Marchakim, and as Rashi says, you'll see those that are now in the distant place, referring here to Gehenim. V'sechazeh b'nochseh ara Gehenim. You'll see those that go down to Gehenim, those that did not serve, didn't want to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll see everything. You'll see the greatness. You'll see the punishment. You'll see everything as the world comes to its perfection. Livche yege eima. Your heart will think, Livcha yege ema, your heart will muse, will contemplate ema with a certain dread. Aye sofer, where is the one who counts? Aye shokel, where is the one who weighs? Aye sofer es hamigdolim. Where is the one who counts the towers? According to those Mefarshim that we're talking here about Chizkiyahu, we're talking about Sancheiriv. Libche yege ema. Your heart used to muse with dread. And you wondered, Sancheiriv has conquered everything. And he's going to control the country. He'll conquer Yerushalayim. Aye sofer. And all of a sudden you're going to say, Aye sofer, where is the scribe of the king? The king used to send a sofer, a scribe, and he would come and he'd write down how much taxes everyone has to pay. And he'd go and he'd keep records and he'd calculate. Aye shokel. And where is the one that weighs? How much money has been paid, and how what's the balance, and how much we have to give the king? Aye sofer es hamigdolim. And where is the one that counts the towers? When they had their real estate tax, they'd come in and make an assessment of the property. And the more towers there were, the grander the mansion was, the more taxes they had to pay. And they would count the migdolim. And a person would realize Sancheiriv is now going to be their new ruler. He's going to be a cruel ruler. And there's going to be exorbitant taxes if he lets them live. And he's going to wonder, Aye sofer, aye shokel. Where is the Sancheiriv coming with all the taxes? And then the pasuk will continue, but we'll be saved from Sancheiriv and we won't have that. The Malbim learns that what happens is Melech biyofyo techazeno einecha. You're going to see the king in his splendor. And the Lashon, the expression of techazeno, to see, means to see deeply. Not just a superficial look, but to see with the ayin hapanimi, with an inner gaze. And you're going to look at Chizkiyahu, and to really appreciate the greatness of Chizkiyahu, you have to be somebody who can look deeper. And Melech biyofyo techazeno einecha, you're going to look deeply and try to appreciate Chizkiyahu. But tirena eretz marchakim. But you're used to a re'iya, a superficial looking. Tirena, you're used to seeing from the distant land the king of Ashur. And you've sort of seen the king of Ashur with all of his armies. And he was such a mighty emperor. And you looked and you saw the king of Ashur, tirena eretz marchakim. And now you're looking at the king Chizkiyo, which on the surface doesn't seem to be as great as Ashur. And also in Libcha Yege Ema, your heart is full of dread, and you start thinking, Aye Sofer, who's the one counting the troops? Sancheirav has such a large army, and Chizkiyo is opposing him. And I see Chizkiyo, but did somebody count his soldiers? Aye Shokel, and where's the person who's weighing, who's storing up wealth in the... To run a military campaign, you need to have resources and you have to have a lot of money. Aye Shokel, where's the person who's weighing the money in the treasury? Chizkiyo, he knows how to... How can he take on... How can he be against Sancheir? What type of a king is Chizkiyo? Aye Sofer es Hamigdolim. Who's the one who's counted the towers and knows how many towers and how many vantage points we can position soldiers to gaze down at the enemy? And all of a sudden you'll have Libcha Yege Emer, your heart will be full of dread, that how can we be Matzliach against Sancheirav? How will Chizkiyo be able to be successful? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will explain, which we'll get to in shortly, that no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help out Chizkiyo, and he will prevail. The Targum mentions, as we've said, Melech biyofyo techezeno einecha, means the king in his beauty, your eyes will see. The Mari Kora says, V'yera olav Hashem, Hashem will appear on him. Ulefi pshuto, and in the simple meaning, Mari Kora says, Ru'uyim einehem shelo nistaklu ba'veira. The words before this were, out of the six qualities, the last thing was he shut his eyes. He was otzim einov. He sealed his eyes not to look at anything wrong. If he was careful, ru'uyim einehem shelo nistaklu ba'veira, his eyes that didn't look at an aveira are worthy. That now his eyes, melech biyofyo techezeno einecha, his eyes should be able to see the king in his splendor. Rav Volba writes in his, Rav Shlomo Volba, the great Baal Musar, who was nifter not that many years ago, recently. He writes in his Sefer Ali Shur that we daven the same davening every day, the same basic Shemona Esrei, the first three brachas, the last three brachas are the same, every single tefillah, every single day. But he describes how the truth is, it's the same tefillah, but depending on where a person is holding in life, what he's experiencing and what he's going through, the tefillah takes on different meaning. Like somebody sitting in a car and watching the car drive down or race down the highway, and he's looking out the window. He's looking out the same window, but the scenery changes. So we can look at the world, and we can look at our hashkafas, and we're looking through the same words in Shemona Esrei, but it means different things as the scenery changes and as we advance in life. And he gives the example of V'sechazeno einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion barachamim. One explanation is, he says, sometimes a person can be full of bitachon. He feels that everything he has, he knows everything he has is dependent on Hashem. And Hashem is the one who's supervising and guiding the world. And Hashem cares about him and loves him. And Hashem can do whatever he wants. And he has a certain feeling of bitachon that he knows he's not alone. And he's able, and he davens, and he's thinking, V'sachazeno einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion v'rachamim. We're going to see it. It's not We're getting closer and closer. We're just about there. Mashiach is going to be here any moment. And our eyes will be able to see b'shuvcha l'tzion v'rachamim, when you return to Tzion with mercy. That's the way he might daven one day. And he says sometimes a person can daven his Shmon Esrei with a Musar approach. And he's been contemplating and thinking about how he's conducting his own life, where he needs to improve, how can he better himself. And he thinks, Mashiach is going to come and they're going to take stock of everything I did and the way I lived. And can you imagine? V'sechazenu einenu, our eyes, these same eyes, are going to be able to see b'shuvcha l'tzion v'rachamim. With these eyes, I'm going to gaze when HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns v'rachamim. I have to improve myself. It can't be the same eyes that were used for the wrong thing should now be to use to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochel. That approach, as the Ma'ari Kara seems to learn, is the person who's careful va'otzim einov me'ra'os v'ra'. The person who seals his eyes and he doesn't want to see anything wrong. That person who closes his eyes, melech b'yofyo techezena inecha. It's right that such a person should be able to see the king in his splendor, which the Targum Rashi learns. The king we're talking about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll be able to see v'sechezena inenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim. The Gemara learns out, the simple meaning is, the way the Meforshim here to explain Ayeh Sofer, Ayeh Shokel, is referring to the king of Sancheiriv. They were afraid Ayeh Sofer, the one who's going to count how much money is owed, how much money for taxes. Ayeh Shokel, he's going to weigh out the money, he's going to count the towers. Or, as we said, the Malbim, Ayeh Sofer, where's the one to count the troops and to count the money to be prepared to wage a battle? Ayeh Sofer es Hamigdolim. Others learn, who's the one who counts the towers? That when they needed to strengthen the walls of Yerushalayim, they would tell every house, you have to provide a certain number of cinder blocks, a certain number of bricks. And they look on, depending on the size of a person's personal dwelling, he would have to contribute, knock off a few bricks and add to the wall. But who's the one who would count the towers and help us fight the war? Rashi says, we're talking here when Melech B'yofir, when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at that point, Libcha Yege Eima, your heart will muse with dread. When you see the officers and the chachamim of all those who serve the idols, the Akum, who were used to be such mighty rulers, Barehim Nidonim beGehenim, and now they're being judged in Gehenim. You're going to think, these were the people who were so fair, who counted, and Shokel, they weighed. They were great Chachamim, they were able to, mathematicians, and people with tremendous understanding. They were able to count the towers in every city and assess taxes. These chashuva people, what happened to them? They ended up in Gehenna. And there's going to be a fear. How are we going to be safe? The Gemara learns out in the Gemara in Chelek on Daf Kuf Vov Amid Beis. It's a Gemara to keep in mind. A lot of these, you know, the Gemaras, they're really hard to understand. But it's something to be aware of. When we learn through Nach, we had in Shmuel, we learned about Doeg. Doeg was in the times of Shaul, and he's the one who prodded Shaul to go and pursue David. And anybody who assisted David, like Novir HaKohanim, Doeg said should be destroyed. And the Gemara says Doeg doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. He was the tremendous Baal Lashon Hara. And when you learn the psukim in Nevi'im, it seems Doeg was terrible, and it's clear that he was. But on the same hand, And by the same token, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Omer of Yitzchak, it brings our pasuk here. My dichsiv ayei sofer. Where is the one, the counter, ayei shokel, the one who could weigh? Ayei sofer samigolim, to count the towers. Ayei sofer kol osis sheba Torah. It means when you see those who went into Gehenim. But we're talking here about somebody of the caliber of Doeg. What happened to the one who could count every letter of the Torah? And he was an expert. Some letters are written with a vav, some are written without a vav. And there are many nuances and halachas and things that are learned from a missing letter or an additional letter. And he knew with precision exactly every letter of the Torah. Ayei shokel. And where's the one who knew how to weigh things? Doeg knew how to put things on a scale and weigh it. Sheshokel kol kalim v'chamurim shebetorah. The Gemara very often has a kal v'chomer. You learn out a certain halacha, and then if that applies in this situation, it certainly should apply somewhere else. And the Gemara will discuss whether that logic is indeed correct. There's a deeper level between somebody not necessarily knowing whether it's right or wrong, but knowing how right or how wrong it is. Sometimes the logic is flawed, and we can't base ourselves on that logic, but there is some truth to it. It's not to be totally discounted. Ayei shokel, but that requires a person who's able to weigh the meaning of the logic. Is how strong of a kal v'chomer, or how weak is this kal v'chomer? So not only did he know all the letters, but he had the mind to probe and to understand the reasoning. And Ayei Sofer Samigdolim, he could count the towers, and there are many explanations what towers it's referring to. But it says, Shoye Sofer Sholosh Meos Halachos Psukos, he knew 300 halachos, B'migdol HaPoreach Ba'avir, about the tower flying through the air, which we're not going to discuss now. But you take somebody like Doeg and Achitofel, and we learn about them, and they're terrible. The Gemara says, but we should know that if we would encounter those people, they're much greater in their knowledge of Torah than we were. There was something lacking in their avodas Hashem, in their sincerity, and they were wrong. But it's hard for us, as much as we try to glean the lessons and learn, but as much as we say there should be an awareness that sometimes the people that seem the worst Rishoim, it's hard for us to understand, but they seem to know a lot of Torah, they seem to be, by our standards, great. But Hashem judges everyone based on what he could do, and based on what the world that he's in, and what he's expected to, what he's able to do. And as the Gemara over there says in Sanhedrin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the heart that we should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough to just know the Torah without taking it to heart. Es Am Noaz. So the Pasuk continues. Es Am Noaz Lo Sira. You won't see the bold people, those that are brazen. Referring, if we're talking about Chizkiyo, it means you won't see Ashur. They're going to be destroyed. Am imke sofa mishmoa. That nation that has the speech is just so too difficult to understand. It's a deep tongue. It's hard to comprehend and to go to the depths of what he's trying to say. The imke sofa mishmoa, that you can't understand. Nilag loshon, he has a garbled tongue. He doesn't speak coherently. Ein bina, without comprehension. Ashur is from that distant land, and he comes and he speaks, and you don't know their language. He's not speaking Lashon HaKodesh. It's a foreign enemy. But you won't see Ashur, you won't have to deal with Ashur, they'll be destroyed. Chazei Tzion. But Tzion is what you'll see. Kiryas Moadenu, the city Moadenu where we would all gather. A moed is a meeting place. The new reality will be that you won't be seeing Ashur. They won't exist. What you will see is Tzion, the Kiryas Moadenu, the city where we'd all gather. Einecha sirena Yerushalayim, your eyes will see Yerushalayim, Nove Shanon. It'll now be a dwelling place, a tranquil abode. Oel Bal Yitzon, a tent that won't be displaced. Bal Yisa Yiseidosov Lonetzach. And if we're comparing Tzion to a tent that's secure, so it continues this mushal, the tent won't be displaced. Bal Yisa Yiseidosov, when you pitch a tent, you have pegs in the ground and you have the ropes from the tent you tie around the peg. And here, Bal Yisa Yiseidosov, the pegs that hold Yerushalayim in place, Bal Yisa Yiseidosov, they won't be uprooted, Lo Netzach forever, V'chol Chavolov Bal Yinoteku. And all of the ropes won't snap, they won't be severed, and Yerushalayim will become permanent and will be our safe, secure dwelling place. That's the way we'll see Yerushalayim at that point when Sancheiriv and Ashur is destroyed, or Ba'achris Hayomim when Mashiach comes. We'll see Tzion Kiryas Moadenu, the city that we all gather to. Kiim Shom, because if over there in Yerushalayim in Tzion, Adir Hashem Lonu, if the Mighty One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be for us, and we have the bitachon and the trust, and our life is avodas Hashem. Kim Shom Adir Hashem Lanu, if the powerful Hashem is for us, Mekom Neharim Yeorim. Now the Moshel compares Yerushalayim as a secure island, a secure place in the middle, surrounded by rivers. Makom Naharim Yaorim, in a place where there'll be wide rivers, Rachavei Yodoyim, that are expansive, that are wide, Yaorim, and there'll be the channels, there'll be rivers and channels that are wide, Baltelech Bo Onishayit. A boat won't be able to traverse and cross these rivers. They won't be able to come and attack Yerushalayim. Vitzi Adir Lo Yavrenu. And even a mighty vessel, Lo Yavrenu, won't be able to cross these rivers. If we realize that you have the word Adir two times in the Pasuk, if Kim Shom Adir Hashem Lonu, if the powerful Hashem is with us, is for us, then you don't have to worry about Tzi Adir, the mighty ships of the enemy. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us, we have nothing to worry about. Ki Hashem Shofteinu, because Hashem is our judge. And whatever punishments, whatever happens to us, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now that Ashur deserves to be destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight our case against Ashur. Ashur was successful when Hashem allowed it. And now Hashem will be our judge, and He'll save us from Ashur. Hashem Mechokikenu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives us our laws. He's the one who gives us the Torah. He gives us the laws to live by. Hashem Malkenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our king, Hu Yoshienu, and He will save us from the enemy. The Malbim explains, if Ashur is like the mighty river surrounding Yerushalayim, And the king Sancheiriv is like the mighty boat in his river. Sancheiriv is the mighty, the Tzi Adir, the mighty vessel that's traveling in the rivers around Yerushalayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who brought him. Ki Hashem Shofteinu. Hashem is our judge, and He might have brought us the suffering that we have from Sancheiriv and from Ashur. But Hashem Mechokekenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives us the laws and the chukim, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change it. The Mechokeh can change the laws and decide what should be done. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change the decision and the law and decide, that's it, Ashur is no longer to have this power. Hashem Malkeinu, and a king doesn't even have to change the law. A king has the rights of extrajudicial powers. Hashem Malkeinu, he's the king, he can grant a pardon, he can excuse us. And therefore, Hu Yoshienu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who will save us from Ashur. Other Mephoshim point out, it's discussed in Yecheskel and in Yoel, the other Nevi'im discuss that in the future there will be waters that will miraculously come out from the Kodesh Kadoshim, from the Beis HaMikdash. It'll begin as a tiny trickle of water, and the water will grow and grow and grow until it becomes a mighty river. Over here it's saying in the future Yerushalayim will be surrounded. Rashi's approach in this whole parsha was talking about the future, that Yerushalayim will be surrounded with these tremendous rivers that come out of the Beis HaMikdash, and the enemy won't be able to approach and will be secure in Yerushalayim. Nitshu chavoloyich. But we're comparing now Yerushalayim with the waters around it. So now we're going to compare with a boat, that they won't be able to conquer Yerushalayim because nitshu chavoloyich. It'll be as if the ropes have been abandoned from all those vessels that are coming to attack. Gabal yechazku chein tarnam. They'll not firmly secure the mast. The toren is the mast, that tall pole of the ship that holds the sails. But bal yechazku chein tarnam. They won't firmly secure their mast. Bal porsu neis. They won't spread out the sails. In other words, the ship, the enemy will be unable to wage war against Yerushalayim. And Oz Chulak Ad Sholol, Oz, then at that point, those in Yerushalayim will divide up. Oz Chulak, they'll divide Ad Sholol, the spoils, the booty, Marbe, that will be in such abundance. Pischim Bozes Uvaz, even the lame person who's hobbles and walks very slowly and with difficulty, but Bozes Uvaz, they'll get plenty of plunder because Ashur's army will be wiped out and all of the wealth there will be for the taking, and there'll be such an abundance. The Ad Sholol Marbe, there'll be such an abundance of spoils that even the Pischim, the lame people, Bozes Uvaz, will be able to go out and take the booty. Uval Yomar Shochein Cholisi. A dweller of Yerushalayim will not say, Uval Yomar, they won't say, Shochein, the one who lives in Yerushalayim. He won't say, Cholisi, I'm sick. Ha'am Hayoshev Bar Nesuavon. The people living there in Yerushalayim, where their sins will be forgiven. No Seyavon. Nesuavon, their sins will be forgiven. And therefore, those living there won't say they're sick, because if there are no Averis, there won't be any suffering. And since all their sins will be forgiven, there won't be any suffering, no tsoros, no sickness, and everything will continue in the best manner. The Malbim says, Uval Yomar Shochein Cholisi, the one in Yerushalayim who's surrounded, the enemies all around, they won't say Shochein Cholisi, that they're sick and they can't withstand Ashur. Ha'om Hayoshev Bo Nesu Ovon, but Ashur will not be able to conquer those that are in Yerushalayim, because the people in Yerushalayim, their sins will be forgiven, and therefore they'll be saved from the king of Ashur. The Gemara learns out in Ksuvas. It's a Gemara that speaks so with such words of endearment, such love, and such greatness about what Eretz Yisrael is. It almost sounds it's unbelievable. The Gemara says, "Amr Belozer and Ksuvas Daf Kufiyur Aleph, Amr Aleph, Amr Belozer Kol Ador BeEretz Yisrael Shorui Below Avon." Anybody who dwells in Eretz Yisrael lives without sin. And it brings this pasuk, Shnemar Vayomar Shochein Chalisi. The one dwelling there won't say he's sick. Hama Yoshebon Nesu Avon. The one who lives there won't have any sins. And therefore, whoever is dor in Eretz Yisrael is like he has no sin. Then the Gemara brings a question. Amr le Rova, Ravina, this said to Ravashi, Anan besov le chaloi masnin Allah. We saw the same pasuk, and we said the pasuk doesn't deal with the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. This pasuk teaches you the greatness of those that are sovle chaloim, those that suffer with sickness, something that nobody wants, but a person should be aware that it's all for his ultimate benefit, whatever suffering we do have. That uval yomar shochin chalisi, the one dwelling there won't complain that he's sick, because the truth is, if he is sick and if he is having a very difficult time, ha'am hayoshebo nesu avon, the people living through such torment are their sins are forgiven. The Maharsha says on this Gemara, the Maharsha learned the word shochin can mean a neighbor. It doesn't have to mean the one living here. Shochin is, it can mean a neighbor. And the Maharsha says as follows. He says, based on Rashi and Sefer Yeshaya, it would seem to learn the pasuk as follows. Rashi says over here, Uval Yomar Shochin Shel Yisrael, the neighbor of Klal Yisrael won't say, Chalisi, I am sick. The neighbors of Israel won't say Chalisi. This is what Rashi says here. I'm sick. And Rashi says, Bishvil ha'uma hazos bo'asnu hara. Because of this nation, we're suffering. They'll say, you know what, we hate having Eretz Yisrael as a neighbor. Because they're our neighbor, look what problems we're having. But they won't say that. Ki ha'am ha'yoshebo, the people living there, Yisrael, that are called the Am Yoshev Yerushalayim, Yisrael are those living in Yerushalayim, the Am ha'yoshebo, nesu avon, their sins are forgiven. So whatever problems the neighbors might have, if we don't have sins, they certainly can't be suffering because of us. Based on that, the Maharsha says as follows. Uvayomru ha'umos, the Shechinei Bishi di Yisrael, the bad neighbors of Eretz Yisrael. And they won't say, Chalisi Bishvilam, we're suffering because of Klal Yisrael. There's a rule of Oyle Rasha v'Oyle Shechino. If somebody's a Rasha and he gets punished, the neighbor also suffers. But they won't be able to say that, because Yisrael is Nesu Avon, and therefore any problems that come to the neighbors, Ba'avon Atzmam Hu, it's their own Averus. They can't say that we're suffering because of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is only bringing blessing to the world. Their sins have been forgiven. And he has a similar explanation. Uval Yomar Shochein, the neighbors of Klal Yisrael won't say Chalisi, that I, the Jew, are sick. And since I'm sick, I need to be in Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Horim Hi. It's a land of mountains. Vavira Tov L'cholim. And the air in Eretz Yisrael is good for the sick. It's a clear, crisp Yerushalayim air. So the neighbors will say, Chalisi, Klal Yisrael is sick. And that's why they're in Eretz Yisrael, because they need to have that environment. The Gemara says, by Rebbe, when he was sick, they brought him to Amtu Litzipori. The Gemara says they brought Rabbi Yehuda Anossi when he was sick to Tzipori, which was on a mountain. The Medalia Tfei Ubosim Avira. It's a high, the mountain air is very healthy. But that's not so. The Eino Kane. But I, Elashani Chomadati Be'eretz Yisrael. Why did I desire Eretz Yisrael? The neighbors won't say, oh, all the Jews are coming from the world to Israel because Chalisi. They're going to say, I'm sick, Klal Yisrael's sick, and that's why we go to Israel. That's not true. Because Ha'om HaYoshev Bo Nesu Ovon. Because living in Eretz Yisrael, the one who's lives there without sin. And therefore, so if we live there without sin, that's why we want to be in Eretz Yisrael. We want to be in Eretz Yisrael because of the Ruchnius, the closest to Hashem, the fact that we can live in purity, and our sins are forgiven. That's why we want Eretz Yisrael, not because we enjoy and we need the good air. And likewise, he says, what the Gemara responds, we learned the Pasuk is talking about those who are sick, those who are suffering. Uvayomar Shochein, the neighbors, our neighbors shouldn't say Chalisi, that I'm sick, and that's, no, they were sick and suffering. But they should, and it's bad for us, but they should know Ha'om HaYoshebo Nesu Ovon, that as a result of the Yisurim wipe away the Averus, and some people receive whatever punishment they would have gotten, could have gotten, should have gotten. It's in this world, and this way the path is cleared for just a reward in the future. Ha'om HaYoshebo, the one who dwells there in Yerushalayim, or according to the explanation of sickness, but the one that dwells there, Nisu Ovon, his sins are forgiven. Stop here.